Okay, Rabosai, so today's daf is Shabbos daf Yud Daled. We're going to begin a bunch of blot talking about the 18 things, the 18 halachos, or gzeros, I should say, that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai voted on in the aliyah of Hananiah ben Chizkiah, and Beis Shammai outvoted the Beis Hillel. Most of these things, almost all these things, are going to be talking about Tumah. So it's a little bit tougher, simply because we're not so familiar with the laws of Tumah. Once you have the principles, it's not so bad. So just as by way of introduction, so there are five levels of Tumah. An Av, a Rishon, a Sheni, a Shlishi, and a Revi'i. But certain things are only able to contract certain levels of Tumah. And just to explain, people and Kalim, people and utensils are only really able to become an avatoma or a rishon. And again, just to clarify, those levels in descending order, whenever something contracts tuma, in general, usually it will go down a level. So if someone touches an avatoma, often, that's not exactly always true, but in general, let's say if food touches a Rishon, it'll become a Sheni. If it touches a Sheni, it'll become a Shlishi, etc., etc. So that's usually, again, not in all cases, but usually how Tumah works. So people in Kalim can really only become an Av and a Rishon. Sheni, a Sheni L'Tumah is for Chulin, is for un-Kadosh food, like regular food, a carrot that you take out of your fridge or whatever. A shlishi is the level that a truma can get to a shlishi, and even more kadosh, a kudshim, any korbanos, anything that has to be eaten in the Beis HaMikdash, etc., etc., that can even get to a revi'i status. And again, tuma usually goes one step lower, so if you have something that contracts tuma from a sheni, it's going to become a shlishi. Truma will usually become a shlishi, then kudshim can become a revi'i if it touches a shlishi. Okay. In general, the way to get rid of tuma, in general, again, not in all cases, certainly, But it's usually enough to go to the mikvah, and then you're already able to eat chulin, regular chulin, again, unholy food, unkadosh food, not korbanos. And if you're a kohen who wants to eat truma, which is obviously has a heightened level of kedusha, so then you need to wait for sunset. That's something called Harev Shemesh. Okay, we're going to talk about that soon. And just one more detail. I guess we can get to this when we get there. Okay, fine. So with that little tiny, minuscule introduction, let's start the Gemara. So we're on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We're at the two dots. Shmona Asar Davar Gozer. Again, there were 18 Takanos that there were Gozer. So the Gemara says, My Nihu Shmona Asar Davar. What are these 18? What are these 18 things? So right now, we're going to list 10 of them, which are actually found in a Mishnah in Zavim. So the Mishnah says, that's not. Elu poslan is a truma. The following things will posel truma. The following 10 things will make truma posel. Now, just again, when we say truma has two ways it becomes invalid. Not ways, but two descriptions. Meaning, if we say truma is posel, so then we say that it cannot convey tuma any further. Meaning, it becomes a shlishi, and then that's it. If it becomes tame for whatever reason, if it became tame, so then it can convey tuma further. So these things create a situation in tuma where they become a puzzle, and they are no longer able to convey tuma. I.e., all of the things that we're about to list become a sheni l'tuma. All of these items, these people who we're about to list are a sheni. And if they touch truma, so again, like we said, tuma goes down a level. So if they touch truma, so then the truma will become tame to the level of a shlishi. Okay, all right. Ha'ochel ochel rishon. If someone eats food that's a rishon l'tuma, again, the eater, someone who eats them, becomes a sheni. Okay, ha'ochel ochel sheni. Anybody who eats food that's a sheni l'tuma. Now again, usually if you eat sheni, you become a shlishi, but midirabanan, someone who eats food that's tame on a sheni level, right, chulin, unconsecrated food, can become a sheni. If you eat that, you're also going to become a sheni, even though usually, technically, tuma drops a level, but people don't become shlishis. Okay. Vashosa mashkin tmein, if you drink tame liquid, Okay, we're going to explain exactly what that means, exactly what the scenario is. Again, there are really, the Mishnah Machshirin says there are only seven liquids that are able to become tamei. Yayin, dvash, shemen, chalav, tal, dam, and mayim. Yad shachad dam. That's the mnemonic. That's the abbreviation. So if you drink any of those liquids, obviously it's also to drink blood. Right? That's obviously not part of it. But if you drink any of the other ones, so then if they are tamei, so then you become a sheni, and you can make tuma. You can make truma a shlishi. V'havei rosho v'rubo b'mayim shuvim. Someone who sticks his head and most of his body in mayim shuvim. Mayim shuvim is opposed to mayim chayim. A mikvah needs to be rainwater. That's called mayim chayim. But mayim shuvim would be any other water that's kind of been drawn already. Let's say you dip in a bath. You know, whenever you turn on the faucet and there's a bath laying there, that's mayim shuvim. That's already undrawn. That's drawn water, meaning it's not rainwater. Okay. V'tar shenaflo al rosho v'rubo. Shlosh alugin mayim shuvim. And if someone who's tahor but had three lug of water of mayim shuvim, right, not rainwater, fall on his head, or being poured on his head, a lug is a measurement. Three lug is about a quart, if I remember correctly. So if someone empties out, a quart of liquid on your head, so you're going to become a sheni. A sefer Torah is a sheni. We'll see why. Yadayim, hands, are a sheni l'tumah, and they can pasul truma. Tvul yom, someone who went to the mikveh that day, or needs to go to the someone who went to the mikveh that day, he is a sheni for the rest of the day, i.e. he can't eat truma. That's what we pointed out before. That's a kohen who's waiting to eat truma. So he needs to wait until sundown, and then he can have truma. Va'ochlem kelim, v'shenitmu v'mashkin, and any ochal and kelim that were tamei because of liquid, meaning any liquid that was tamei that touched other food, so that that food is going to become a sheni, and it can pasal truma, it will make truma into a shlishi. Now, before we get to analyze all these things, the Gemara wants to know, man tana, who is the tana who said, again, just, okay, so who is the tana that says that all of these gzeros, all of these people, make truma puzzle, but not tame. Meaning, you cannot convey tuma any further. That it's only puzzle, it's not tame. So, I'm Rabbi Yeshua, it's Rabbi Yeshua, that's not like we learned in the Mishnah. I'm Rabbi Elezer Omer says, Ha'ochel ochel rishon, if you eat food that's a rishon l'tuma, rishon, the person himself becomes a rishon. Ochel ochel sheni, if you eat food that's a sheni, he becomes a sheni. Ochel shlishi, if a person eats a shlishi, he becomes a shlishi. Again, that's not how we're holding. We're holding that these people are going to be a sheni l'tuma to impact true man kachin. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Rabbi Yeshua says, ochel ochel rishon, ochel sheni, that anybody who eats food that's a rishon or a sheni that's a sheni, he himself becomes a sheni, and therefore when he touches truma, he makes truma into a shlishi, and i.e., that truma can now no longer possible anything else. Shlishi, but if you eat food that's a shlishi, so then he becomes a sheni l'kodesh v'ain sheni l'truma. He becomes a sheni to make kodesh possible, but he doesn't make a sheni to become truma possible, because we said that kachim can reach a status of revi, but not truma. And the Gemara just clarifies, how can you eat food that's a shlishi? Well, we said that only truma can become a shlishi. How could you eat chulin, regular, normal food, really, in general, only gets to a status of a sheni? How could you eat chulin that's a shlishi? So that's b'chulin shenasas alidei truma. Alidei altaras truma. That chulin is sometimes, often, Chazal would prepare chulin according to the standard of truma. Meaning they would make sure that the chulin that they were eating to abstain from tuma so much, they would make sure that even the regular food that they were eating had the purity status of truma, so they would take all the steps that people take in terms of making sure that truma doesn't become tamei. So they would do the same thing with chulin. But okay, so that's our meaning. The tana that we're holding like is Rabbi Yehoshua. Anyway, let's go analyze all of these 10 cases, and you'll see it's actually 9. But okay, whatever. Ochel ochel rishon. If so, that we said someone eats food that's a rishon l'tuma, va ochel sheni. If someone eats sheni l'tuma. So my time goes to Rabbanan Tuma. Why did the Rabbanan be gozer that this person is now tame to affect other truma? Well, again, we said usually if you eat a sheni, so you can't, or if you eat a rishon, we said people in kalim usually are only either a rishon or an av. Right? If you touch something that's a rishon, and l'chora midaraisa, you shouldn't be tamei at all, right? You don't become anything less. So why did Chazal be metaking tuma for these people? Because dezinin de'achel ochlan tameim, because sometimes people eat tamei food. V'shakil mashkin de'truma v'shadi lepume. Sometimes when you're eating, so you have a piece of bread, you need to kind of wash it down a little bit. So what will happen? You'll take some tamei food, and really that doesn't impact you at all. But what will you do? The kohen will take some truma liquid and put it into his mouth at the same time. That's a problem. That's upasalahu. Now you have the liquid, which is truma, being pasled by the food, which is a rishon. Right? We said that food that's a rishon does not impact people, but a rishon food that's tamei will impact truma. So that's the gzera. We don't want people to put the two things into their mouth at the same time, and then you would pasal truma. Right, it's usher to do so. So we want to make sure that wouldn't happen. V'shosa mashkim tmeim. What about someone who drinks tamei liquid? My time agazru be rabbanan tuma. Why did the rabbanan say that anybody who drinks tamei liquid is tamei? Because of the reverse. Zinden shosa mashkim tmeim v'ashakel oklan shoma v'shadu lepume upasalahu. Because sometimes you'll be drinking liquid which is tamei, and you'll throw in some food which is truma, and you'll eat them together. So Gemara says, "Hainuach, that's the same case. What are you talking about? So why is that? Why do you need to list them twice?" So Gemara says, "My detema, you might have thought hashchichi v'halo shchichi. It's much more common for someone to eat, let's say, a piece of bread and to wash it down with, I don't know, water, etc., or milk, or whatever it is, than to drink something and put food into your mouth afterwards. So you might have thought that the second case was not gonna be included. Kamash Malan, that both scenarios are part of the gzera, and that's why." You're going to become a sheni l'tumah at that point. Haba rosho, have rosho v'rubo b'mayim shuvin. Let's say you put your head and most of your body into regular water. My timer goes rebe rabbanan tumah. Why is there tumah? Why is this one of the things that will make you tamei? Because back in the day, people used to go to the mikvah in the ma'aros, in a cave, and the water was gross. And they would wash themselves off afterwards. I mean, you'd take a shower after they would go to the mikvah, or a bath, whatever. And people began doing this permanently, even if the water wasn't disgusting. People used to start taking these baths or showers afterwards. And therefore, gazru aleihem tuma. Therefore, Chazal, in order to discourage this, to make sure people wouldn't do it, so there goes there that anybody who does this becomes tamei, meaning the mikvah doesn't help. Of course, says my keva. Who cares? Why was this such a big deal? Why was it so bad that it became permanent? So Rabbi, shayu omrim lo ilu mitarin, ella ilu ve'ilu mitarin. Because people used to make a mistake. They used to think that going to the mikvah and then showering, that was the tahoring process. That only both of them would make you tahor. So Amalei Rava said that my nafkamina. Who cares? Because hakatavli bahanach. No, because so you're right. Actually, the mikvah is the only thing that makes them tahor. So if people think that both of them make them tar, so who cares? They're still going to the mikvah. So Allah Marava, Rava says, no. What was the mistake? Shayu omrim lo elu mitarin, ella elu mitarin. They used to think that the shower was mitar. And the only reason people went to the mikvah was to kind of like clean themselves off and dip in the cave water or the mikvah water just to clean themselves off to prepare for the shower. But people used to think that the shower was mitar. And they were abstaining from going to the mikvah, so that's a problem, obviously. And therefore, they were mitakin that anybody who showers will become tamei. So to make sure people will realize, no, it's the mikvah that makes them tahor and not the shower. Okay, the next case, v'tar shenafal al rosha berubo shlosh lugin mayin shuvim. Let's say someone poured a quart of water or liquid or whatever onto someone's head, so he became tamei. So my time a gazru be rabbanan tuma. Why was there a decree for that? Because diloha lo kaimaha. Because if you didn't have this, you wouldn't have the other one. Meaning people confused a shower and a bath with just kind of rinsing your head off with this quart of liquid. So if you didn't have that takana, people wouldn't have understood that the showering takana would not have stood. So those two apparently went hand in hand. I guess it wasn't, nowadays obviously everybody showers and bathes, is no problem, but back in the day when you didn't have so much access to water, so, apparently people exchanged showers for this kind of like rinsing your head off, so if you didn't, we weren't gozer on that, the other gzera would not have been sustained. this Sefer. What about a Sefer Torah? To be honest, one of the Nach, but let's say a Sefer Torah. That's most shuls have a Sefer Torah. My time a Gazer Be Rabban and Tuma. Why is there a Gzer for Tuma? That's weird. So I'm going to have Misharshia, a completely different reason. Nothing to do with anything that we've been learning up until now. Shevetchila hayu matznian ochlin as ochlin the truma itzel sefer Torah, because people used to keep truma, they used to store truma, right? Obviously, you can't keep truma with regular food because the levels of tara not the levels of tara are different, but you'd have to be more careful to keep truma tahor than other food. Other food can become tameh. There's no real isser, but to make truma tameh, that's an isser. So that's a problem. So people would, you know, you can't keep your truma cereal with all your other cereal. So people used to, instead of keeping it, you know, I guess in the basement or locked away somewhere, they used to keep it with the Sefer Torah. The Amru, and the logic was, Hai Kodesh, Vai Kodesh, both of them are Kodesh, and therefore people will understand that, oh, if they find food in the Aron Kodesh, right, for us it seems strange, but if they find food in the Aron Kodesh, it must be Truma, you have to make sure to keep it Kodesh. Came into Gachazu, the Kaasuli de Pseida, but then the Chazal saw there was going to be a loss. It led to having a loss. What loss? So Rashi explains that basically the mice and the rats were attracted to the food, and they started eating through the Sifrei Torah as well. So they couldn't have that. So therefore, Gazru be Rabbanan Tuma. So therefore, the Chazal were mataking that Sifrei Torah should have a sheni level of Tuma. So therefore, people wouldn't put their Truma with it. Fayadayim, why are we mataking that Yadayim, that are not hands that are not washed, why are they a sheni l'tuma? Because people's hands are always moving. You're not always, you know, so aware of what you're doing with your hands. In Yana Dioma, you just saw, you know, in all these press conferences about the coronavirus, and, you know, don't touch your face, don't do this, don't do that. So immediately after, you know, you see this, you know, a bunch of these videos, officials are standing by a microphone, don't touch your face. You know, it's not safe, it's not sanitary, and all of a sudden, you know, you see the person licking their tongue just to turn the page on the lectern in front of them. So yeah, people don't know what to do with their hands. Rashi writes, who cares? So Rashi gives two possibilities. What are we afraid of? Either A, you'll touch places that are gross, either on your body or other places, your hands will be dirty. And genai l'truma bekach, and it's not appropriate to touch truma when your hands are dirty or, you know, sweaty or whatever, v'nimas la'ochlin, and make the truma disgusting. And Rashi quotes another pshat that maybe you touched something that was tameh. Rashi doesn't like that pshat so much, but other Rishonim talk about that's the real reason for the gzeira. But either way, either because you touched something that's gross or dirty, or because you may have touched something that's tameh, you may not realize it, Chazal or gozer that yadayim are tameh. Tanya will end in a brisa. Af yadayim abos machmas sefer. Postlos is a truma, a different, something we didn't list in the list that we quoted in Amud Beis. Yadayim that touches, hands that touch a sefer Torah, they're pasal truma. They become a sheni l'tuma. Mishum Rabbi Parnach, because of Rabbi Parnach, Amar Rabbi Parnach, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ochiz b'sefer Torah arum nikbar arum. This has nothing to do with anything except for a different reason that Rabbi Parnach said, if you hold the sefer Torah, literally means naked, but means bare without a covering, a person will be buried bare. Nikvar, he will be buried. You'll see what arum means in a second. But this is the reason. Perhaps if you go to shul, you see people touching the scroll, the parchment of the Sefer Torah with their talis. So this is what Rabbi Parnach says, that you really shouldn't touch a Sefer Torah with your bare hands. You should touch it with something else. Because if you do so, you'll be buried arum. Now, what does that mean? Arum salkadaitech, really, what, he's going to be buried totally naked, right? We know that a person, Rahman al-Islam, at the end of 120, so he's buried in burial shrouds. There's a certain dress which a person is buried in. So really, it's considered a genai to be buried naked. So really, it means the person would be buried naked if you touch the Sefer Torah with your hands. Ella amar bizera arum below mitzvos. No, it means he'll be without any mitzvos, bare, naked, without any mitzvos. The Gemara says, below mitzvos, what, you lose all of your mitzvos if you touch the Sefer Torah with your finger? Ella ima no, orim below osa mitzvah. You'll be buried without that mitzvah. Meaning, whatever mitzvah that you were doing, when you touch the Sefer Torah, So Tosfos explains, whatever mitzvah you were doing, whether you were learning from the Torah, or you were holding the Sefer Torah while it was being rolled up, or whatever, so Tosfos says, whatever mitzvah you were doing at that time, you'll lose that mitzvah if you touch the Sefer Torah with your bare hands, because it's not respectful. It's not covered for the Sefer Torah, and therefore, whether Chazal or Gozer, that a person who touches the Sefer Torah with his hands becomes Tameh, and that will lead to people not touching the Sefer Torah with their hands. So Gemara says, Hai Gazer Beresha, which Takana came first? Ilema Ha Gazer Beresha, if you're telling me that the Takana we listed, that hands are, in general, that have been unwashed, are Tameh, in general, all over the place, so Kevin Dehaf Gazer Beresha, Sula Alamali, why would you need to tell me, therefore, that if someone touched the Sefer Torah, your hands are Tameh? Your hands are Tameh regardless. Ella Gemara says, Hach Gazer Beresha really must be that the Gzera was that if you touch the Sefer Torah with your hands, so then you're Tameh, and then Vahadar Gazer Bekulu Yadai, and then it decreed that the Gzera was for all hands, in general, are Tameh. And that must have come second. Okay, then Gemara, back to the list. Utvul Yom, someone who went to the mikvah on that day, he's, again, we said that a kohen needs to wait for sunset to eat truma, so Utvul Yom has the status of a sheni. So Gemara says, one second, Utvul Yom Daraisahu, that's a din Daraisa. The Chetiv Pasuk says, Uva Shemesh V'Taher, right, a kohen is not allowed to eat from truma when he goes until he goes to the mikvah, Uva Shemesh, but when the sun sets, then V'Taher, then he becomes holy, he can eat the Kodesh food, you can eat truma. So what do you mean that was one of the gzeros? So Gemara says, you're right. Same mikan tvul yom, take out from here the list, in the case of tvul yom, and that's why I said before that really it's only nine things that's in the Mishnah in Zavin. Okay, next case, for Othlam shenitvu nitvu mashkin, any food that became touched by liquid, that was tameh. So the food itself will become tameh. So Gemara says, "B'mashkin b'mai." What kind of liquid? What kind of liquid that's tameh is making this food tameh? Ilim b'mashkin haban machmas sheretz. If you tell me it's liquid that comes from a sheretz, a sheretz is a dead animal. There are eight of them. There are eight shmona shrotzim. It's a pretty well known parak in Gemara. Meaning a sheretz is an avatuma. So if you tell me that the liquid is an avatuma, so d'araisa ninu, so the food that becomes tameh, that's a din d'araisa, right? The pasuk says, kol mashka sheisha se, any liquid that you drink, right? Liquid can become tameh if it touches an avatuma, right? That's, again, what we mentioned, the seven liquids that we said before, yad shachadam, that's the acronym for them. So you can't tell me that making liquid that touched tameh food that's an avatuma, that's not a takana, that's a din d'araisa. Ela b'mashkim habay machmas yadayim. It must be the liquid that touched hands. Again, when you make, we or goes there, that hands are tameh. So any liquid that touched these hands, that stuff will become tameh. Uxerim mishum mashkim habay machmas sheretz. Because you may come to confuse it, right? We may think that if the situation was that water that touched tameh hands was not tameh, you might get confused and think that water that touched a sheretz, or liquids that from a sheretz that touched food, also would not become tameh. So therefore, they were mitakein that any liquid that touched hands, so that's also going to be tameh. Again, that's gzeira on top of gzeira, but we see that Chazal were mitakein a lot of gzeiras to make sure people distance themselves from tumah. Vakelim shenitmu mashkim, and either. I guess often kevin means clothes, or it could be, let's say kitchenware or whatever, any utensils really that became tameh from liquid that was tameh. So the Gemara says, kelim dikmu mashkim b'mai. What kind of liquid? What kind of tameh liquid are we talking about here? Same question as we had a second ago. Ilay mav mashkin shizav. If you tell me it's liquid that comes from a zav. Now we had yesterday. And the day before that, Azav is someone who sees an emission. He is an avatoma. And the Pasuk says that any liquid that comes from this Zav, right, either his spit or whatever, his saliva, or any other emissions that he may have, that's Tamei Midaraisa. Those are also an avatoma. They have the same status. Daraisa Ninhu. And the Gemara says that that's a Din Daraisa. Dichtiv, Chiaroka Zav Batahor. If a Zav spits, So the Tohor himself, the person, will become Tame. So Masha Biyad Tohor Timesilach, meaning anything that was in the hand of somebody who's Tohor, I've made that Tame. Meaning that's what the Torah says, the liquid of a Zav will make something else Tame. So that's not a Din Darabanan, that's not a Takana, that's a Din Daraisa. Ella rather, B'mashkin Haboin Mach Masheretz. It must be the liquid that came, that touched the Sheretz. Ugzerim Shem Mashkin dissolved. It's the liquid that touched the sheret, then the liquid touched kalim, and therefore we made those kalim tame because of mashkin dissolved, to make sure that you don't make a mistake by the liquid of a zav. Right? If we had liquid that touched a sheret, that touched a keli, if that was not necessarily tame, you might have thought that liquid that comes from a zav is also not tame. But that's not true. Right? Again, it's a din d'oraisa, that anything that comes from a zav, right, makes things tame. So we wanted to make sure that people didn't make that mistake. Okay. Via daim. Now, we talked about that people who regular hands, all right, are tame. We said that any unwashed hands are tame. So the Gemara says, tame di shami v'hilel gozor. What? We said that this whole list was a machlokes between the Talmidei, the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel in the Aliyah of Hananiah. And there were gozer 18 things, and this was 9 of them. So what? One second. The Yadayim Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel gozer is really the ban on Tamei hands. That's from the Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel? No, Shammai v'Hillel gozer. Shammai and Hillel themselves made that gzera. The Tanya, like we learned in Brisa, Yossi ben Yoezer, Ish Tzreda, V'Yossi ben Yochanan, Ish Yushalayim, Gozru Tuma al Eret Amin. So these two Tanayim made a takana that Chutz Laaretz has a din of Tuma, not that meaning anybody who comes from Chutz Laaretz is Tame, because Rashi explains that the Goyim used to not mark their graves. So it could be possible for you to walk over a grave, Rachman al Tzlan, and then you would contract Tuma. So they were metakin that everybody who's in Chutz Laaretz had a tuma, or again, misafik, thou kliz chuchis, and on glass, because glass is not listed in the Torah, but it's not mentioned anywhere. But they were metaking that glass can become tame. Shimon ben Shetach tikein ksuba leisha. Shimon ben Shetach was metaking a ksuba for a wife. Now, obviously, that's a din d'oraisa. Certainly, there's a whole masechta about ksuba. So Rashi explains that he was metaking that all of a man's possessions should go in the ksuba to his wife, because in his time, in Shimon ben Shetach's time, he saw that, again, what did people usually do? They would designate a portion of their possessions, a field or whatever, as the ksuba for their wife, and if they got into a fight or whatever, apparently people were divorcing their wives too easily. And be like, yeah, take my field, I don't want it, I don't care, I don't want to be married anymore. So Shimon ben Shetach, in an effort to kind of help Shalom Bayis and help people work on their marriages, Shimon ben Shetach decreed that all of a man's possessions when he comes into a marriage should be in the ksuba, so he would think twice before divorcing his wife, and to make sure, can you work on that Shalom Bayis a little bit more before you lose everything, because the entire possessions will go to the wife in that case. Okay, and finally, V'gazar tuma aklem atachas, he also said that metal is tamei. Now that's also, that is found in the Torah, so the Gemara is going to talk about that in a couple of dapim, what exactly that means. Shammai v'Hillel gozru tuma al yadayim, and you see here beferish in the Brisa, this is the point of why we brought it, that Shammai v'Hillel themselves said that any yadayim are tamei. So not the Beis Shammai, it was Shammai and Hillel themselves. V'chitema, and if you'll tell me, Shammai v'siyato v'Hillel v'siyato, and it was really, no, Shammai and their helpers, and Shima and Hillel and their helpers, meaning the Beis Shammai, no, v'amar Rabbi Yehuda, amar Rav Shmuel, amar Shmuel, Shmonas Hardavar Gazru, there were 18 Takanos, v'shmonas Harnechlaku, and all of these 18 cases, there was a Machlokes. That in the between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel, the Ilu Hillel v'Shammai lo nechku ela b'shlosha makomos. But Hillel and Shammai themselves only argued in three places. Damar Rav Huna b'shlosha makomos nechlaku v'sulo, because Rav Huna said that there was only three machloksim. So it can't be, obviously, Hillel and Shammai, if they only argued in three things, or you can't tell me that they argued in 18 things, it wasn't, it's not, doesn't, obviously the math doesn't work out. V'chitema asu inu v'gazru litlos, v'asu tamidayu v'gazru lisrof, and maybe you'll tell me, no, Hillel and Shammai decided that what yadayim do, what unrinsed hands, or unwashed hands do, is make truma pasul. Taluy. There are two scenarios in terms of truma. Truma, if it becomes tamei, so you need to burn it. That's a din d'oraisa. But if it's a suffix whether the truma became tamei, so then you do something called litlos. Then you kind of just leave it on the side. You wait for it to decay, and then you can throw it out. So that's a suffix. So if you're going to tell me that maybe Hillel and Shammai decreed that the Yadayim will make tuma into suffix tuma, make truma into suffix tuma, maybe Hillel and Shammai's decree was that truma would be tamei misafik if they touched hands. But the Talmidim came and said, no, we're going to be gozer, that you have to burn it. So Vamar Ilfa said, no, Yadayim tchilus gzeiros on l'sreifa. No, the original gzeira, that is, if Yadayim, if hands touch truma, you have to burn it right away. It can't be that there was two stages to this gzeira. Ella, rather, what has really happened? Asu inhu gazur. Really, Hillel and Shammai did make this gzeira, that Yadayim, that hands are tamei. V'lo kiblu minayu. People were not makabel. V'asu talmidayu gazur. Then the talmidim came and they made the gzeira. V'lo kiblu minayu. And then people were able to be makabel this gzeira. And then, as we wash our hands before we eat bread, right? That's part of it. V'akati, and the Gemara says, wait a second. Shlomo gazur. It was really Shlomo HaMelech who was gozer that hands should have tuma. Right, we see that Shlomo was metaken both the concept of erivin and atiyas yadayim, washing our hands. Right, so you see, that it was Shlomo who made that original gzera. This Gemara says, you're right. Also, Shlomo. Gazer the kachin. Shlomo made that made the gzera only for kachin. You had to wash your hands before you ate kachin korbanos. Vasu inu and Hillel and Shammai and his the talmidim gazer af al truma. They also made the gzera for truma as well. As we said, truma is a little bit less of holiness than kachin. In so much that it can become a shlishi and kachim can become a revi, but they extended the gzera that Shlomo made, and he said you had to wash your hands for truma as well. Okay, Mitzvah Shem, we'll go weiter. Tomorrow's Shabbos, but Bli Nether, I'll try and record on Mitzvah Shabbos, because these dapim are hard, simply because it's a world we haven't really encountered so much. Okay, have a great Shabbos, great rest of your day, and Hashem should bless us all with Yeshuos. Chodesh Nisan is coming. Chodesh Nisan is the month where we get redeemed. So Mitzvah Hashem, we should be zocha to Gula Shlema from this situation.